stand in pledge of allegiance. Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any additions to agenda or changes? Dave is going to make a presentation after we get through the old and the new business on the salary grades. And approval of the minutes. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes. Any questions?
So moved.
Someone wants to second it? Second. Is that there
to get? We'll second.
Okay, second. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay. First item on the agenda, old business, health department nurse's job description pay grade. We gave the nurses pay grade, pay increase to become competitive so we don't lose nurses and have a lot of turnover in that field. And we just want to verify that that's going into a pay grade. Are you planning?
Well,
wow.
I don't know how long ago it was, but we voted to, didn't we vote and approve, was it $10,000 annual increase for the three nurses?
That is correct.
Okay. So, Gary, I got this email that you sent to me. It shows nurse supervisor pay grade 33. I haven't done the math. Hopefully somebody's done the math. And when I say done the math, did we look at the, you know, 2023 pay grade with the 3% increase from 2022 and then simply add $10,000 and then these are the new pay grades? Is that the approach that we used?
Yes.
Judy has talked to you, Julie, on Friday about that, correct?
Yeah, okay. So if I go research it, which I haven't had time to do, look at the old pay grade versus the new one, then these are the pay grades that they need to, that we need to approve.
Now, do you know if we need to vote on that, or do you just...
I would say to make it safe to vote on it.
All right. Take a motion.
Based on the testimony, then I would make a motion that we shift the pay grades for the two RNs to a pay grade 31 and for the new supervisor a pay grade 33.
Second? Anyone? I'll second it. Take a vote. All in favor? Say aye. Sorry, we have a discussion if you'd like to.
Aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay.
Okay, did you vote?
Okay. No, we can't hear Judy, so. Judy, we can't hear you.
What's the status of Judy?
Judy, what was your
vote? She's on the screen.
Where's unmute, Dave?
Yeah.
I can't see it.
You're fine. You're not muted.
No,
she is.
No, yeah.
Judy, you're muted if you can hear.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
There you
go. I vote yes. And I just want to clarify that was their COVID. That was their, like, administration or COVID monies that they had got, like, their fees that they had been using for... injections during COVID. So it's their money. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Next item, Commissioner's Assistant Pay Grade. We realized that we voted last month to approve the job description and the pay grade, and we found out later that as the council, we only have the authority to approve the pay grade. So that is back on the table for us here.
Yeah, just for further clarification to the audience, that there was a 25-year precedence that was established, that my understanding is that the council historically has always approved pay grades and job descriptions. However, per Mr. Mogo with Barson Thornburg, state statute is that the commissioners are responsible for the approval of the job descriptions, and the council is responsible for the pay grade assignments. So, with that said, Gary, I'm going to start off, if that's okay with you, with the work that I've done.
Yes.
Okay. Darren, I gave you a copy. Scott, you got a copy. I had a request from the county commissioners, specifically Blake Wolper, had asked me to sit down and for me to kind of do my due diligence on this pay grade issue. So, because what I realized at last month's meeting, when we voted to approve the pay grade along with the job description, that one of the things that we lack is we don't have an objective process to assign a pay grade. So it's, you know, without an objective process to assign a pay grade, then, you know, that's a challenge, because now we've got a subjective process. And considering the fact that we pay out $150,000 a year in stipends, it creates all sorts of problems for the county. So what I've got here is, if anybody wants it, I've got extra copies. I went through and analyzed all of the figures, and I've been working on the labor cost. So I don't know, raise your hand. I got so many. Maybe all wants one of these.
Okay. I didn't want to be rude.
No, no, that's fine.
Thanks. Be real.
Thanks, Jim.
How are you?
Good. We can share.
Can you share back here? Okay. We got like three more, so if you want one?
Sure.
I'll take one, sir.
Good. You guys last two, and then we're out. So we're out.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. So on, and I'm just going to walk through it. What I did is I've got, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, because of our labor costs projected for 2024, $6,831,000, I wanted to go in and begin to evaluate our labor cost to look to see, you know, how we arrived at that, what's going on, so on and so forth. So I've got an Excel spreadsheet. I was able to get the data from the auditor's office. They were kind enough to give me the information I needed. And so of this Excel file that I've got, has all the departments, has all of the hire dates, it's got the pay grades, it's got the longevity cost in it, and then we've got the stipends. So for this specific situation, I had, you know, started out with 151, and, well, I'm going to go ahead and look up. Thanks. So this first page, what I did, as you can see, there are 17 administrative pay grades. And so we've got deputy, first deputies, administrative assistant, 911 coordinator, office manager, HR director, administrative assistant, veterans office, director, GIS, director, and then lastly, a matron. So all I simply did is I took those 17 pay grades, the total, added them up, and as you can see, for those that got a copy, that comes to $700,011.88. Yes?
Jim, I think it's important to note that they're not on here, but elected officials are also at pay grade 16.
I left elected officials off.
I noticed.
Deliberately.
That. I know.
Okay.
But I think everybody needs to know that they are
a pay grade 16?
Well. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So for this study, I just, because what I'm, you know, clearly what I'm trying to solve for is an average. So as you know, for those that have the report, you know, longevity costs and these, you know, for those that don't realize that the county's got a longevity program. So for every year you work for Brown County government, that following year you get $100, and then every year you continue to get $100. So if you're here 17 years, you get $1,700 next year as an increase of pay for your longevity.
I don't know when that was established, but I think it's been placed forever. And then in addition to that, we have a practice of assigning stipends. And so the stipends in this situation scenario total $12,160, and those stipends are based off of, looks like, four individuals. So the average for the stipends, the average for longevity, it comes up to a total of $42,598.38 is the pay, including the stipend and longevity. The second page, I thought, okay, let's take this from the 17, let's take it down to 10 people so that we don't have any repeating pay grades and do an equal weighting on the average. So in other words, if you got 10 different positions, 10 different pay grades, you go 1/10 across the board, add them up, and that gives you the average. So when I look at 10, there were, you know, the total was $410,971.88 in annual compensation, so that's an average of $41,097.19. The longevity is 670, the stipend is 800, so you end up with an average pay for this, you know, administrative capacity of $42,567.19. So then I took it to a third step, and the third step was simply to take the two averages of 17 and the averages of the 10, and then divide those by two. So it's kind of a three-step process. So the final number I came up with was $41,137.18. If you add the longevity and the stipend in, which I don't know if that's really relevant or not, but it comes up to $42,582.79. So then to compare that, if you look down for those that have the report, a pay grade 13 is $41,119, a pay grade 14 is $42,351, and a pay grade 15 is $43,584. So it's, you know, and if you look at the delta between a 14 and a 15, it's about a 3% step up is to go from a 14 to a 15. So now the question is there's, those are the average compensation for anyone in the county that's got a kind of an administrative capacity. And so I think then, you know, for me, what's true is the next issue gets into an issue of how broad are those responsibilities of that position. Clearly, the broader the responsibility and how much discretionary authority that individual has, clearly, you know, it's going to, you could make an argument that the pay grade could be much higher. If you look at it and look at the responsibility and you say, no, we're going to shrink it down, and they lack any sort of discretionary authority, then you can make an argument that it needs to go the other way. So that was the work I had done. I had done that on behalf of Blake Wolpert. So there you go, Blake, you got it. You got it in writing. And so the rest of you can pitch in and say what you got to say.
The other thing along with that, because I worked with Jim on this, is we looked at the job description that was put out by Wagner, Irwin, and Sheely. And basically, we looked at also the IC codes that reference what a county commissioner's administration function would be, and we then just took the same job description, and just there were numerous facets to it, numerous lines describing what the job description is. We put those under the eight categories to show that it would be fitting in with the IC code that governs that area. It's the same job description, there's nothing different.
Can I say something, please?
Sure.
It is a different job description. And also, if you look at the top, it says Commissioner's Administrative Assistant. Then when you come down to duties under Indiana Code 36-2-2-14, County Commissioner's Administrator Appointment. Power and duties. So which is it? Is it an administrative assistant or is it a county commissioner's administrator?
So the
county commissioner,
excuse me.
I went ahead and what it says, the executive, they appoint a county commissioner's administrator to be the administrative head of the county commissioners. Operations under the supervision of the executive and to hold the office at the pleasure of the executive. The executive may assign any office, position, or duties under its control to the commissioner's administrator, and may be withdrawn at a resolution of duties, etc. So, is it an administrative assistant, or is it an administrator?
It was used as a reference. If we do have a problem with that, we pull that job description and using that as a reference, and we just go back to the other one. Bye.
I think that we slow down on this, and that we have the commissioners to rework it.
Rework what?
Rework this job description so that it's not an county administrator. If we're going to have a county
It's not a county administrator. That was something Jim and I used as an exercise to try and make sure it fit into IC code and just a general. It's not saying we're an administrator. As I say, we can easily. That was us. We can take that out. We can take that out. There's no problem. Because the commissioners, it is a administrative assistant. That is the job. We're not trying to change it. Yeah. Not in any way.
Mr. President.
If we accept this as it is written, then it is in the job description. So it needs to be taken out.
Okay, that's fine. I sent you two. Jim and I, as I said, we use this as an exercise. We don't say it's going to be the job description. We used it as an exercise. So we can drop that whole version of it out and go back with the simple one that says it's county administrator or commissioner's administrator. I think Scott wants to say something.
Yeah, I was just going back to your opening thought on job descriptions and pay grades and what we learned from Barnes and Thornburg about who's responsible for what. And it sounds, if I heard you right, the commissioners set the job description and the council sets the grade. Did I get that right? Okay. So I did, Judy, I caught that too on the county administrator side, and I agree with you. It's a, you know, we haven't really talked about someone with those powers. I'm sure everyone has their own opinion of that position, and I have my own. But I do think it's good to just, you know, the commissioners know what they need, and clearly they need something. And so the commissioner's administrative assistant job description, which you forwarded, I think is the one we should honor and respect that they know what they need. And now the pay grade is a different story, and that apparently is the council's responsibility.
I agree.
Well, I understand that it is up to them, but you know what? We don't have to fund it.
That's true. So we're back to the commissioners presented a job description to us. Jim and I did something as an exercise, which we provided here, so you might see how it fits in with our reference frame. But we're pulling that particular job description. As I said, I sent to the all pertinent parties, I sent two versions. One was the one the commissioners gave us, which is what is the issue. This was just an exercise. So that is what is on the table, the commissioner's job description, which was rather comprehensive and thorough.
President, one more comment?
Yes.
And I was hoping there would be a job classification at the top to make our jobs easier, but apparently that's our role. I mean, is that where we start the conversation? You know, what is there, and Blake, I see you out here, and Ron, I mean, we've talked all year about having competitive salaries for people to be able to fill those positions and retain those people no matter what department it is. I mean, do you have a suggested grade or range that you think would be adequate? Maybe I missed that. I apologize if so.
Yes, to the commissioners?
Yeah, I mean, or the council. I'm just looking for some guidance on where, even in the ballpark of what we're...
I thought it was a 14, though. This says 15.
County Commissioner, that's the reason I got with, and I've talked to many of you. Hopefully, you know, I didn't miss anybody, but there was questions early on about we knew we needed help in administrative capacity to help us function more efficiently as a body of commissioners. And so we as in me, might have got ahead of myself in trying to get the ball rolling. So we had to back all that up. We had to get with legal, say, okay, this is what we need to help us, and now write it the way that it's supposed to be written so we don't have any problems with legal, and we're still getting our necessary help. And so I talked to, you know, Kemp's a numbers guy, and we were chatting, and I said, why don't you do that thing that you do, which is, you know, some kind of a formula that's figured out, which I think is what he's put before us today. So what I'm thinking is, now, Scott, if what you're saying is, the job description is very comprehensive, and it's critical to us being able to do our best work. So it looks like, from what he's determined here, that the pay grade is somewhere between 14 and 15. And this is just solely based on the work that, you know, the formula came out with. So I feel like that whatever you guys suggest along those lines, but I mean, that's what the numbers suggest. Now, did I not answer the question, Scott?
Did a great job of getting it in the ballpark. I mean, you know, seriously, I was trying to think of something funny to say, but it's not a joking matter. So, you know, the other thing that we're dealing with, just the elephant in the room here is, and I think Dave's going to speak to this later, is for whatever reason, the way we've approved pay is causing us to increase pay grades instead of pay within a pay grade where, from my experience, the pay grade set is determined based on the responsibility of the position, and then the range of pay is set to facilitate a highly experienced person in that position or someone with, you know, special skill sets, and there's a low end and a bottom end, and for whatever reason, we have one number per pay grade as far as I can tell. That's very unusual to me, and I don't think we should continue to do it that way, and so what we're dealing with here is that issue a lot of, and I think Dave and Judy put a lot of time into trying to resolve that for us, but, you know, let's not mix the two up. We know we have a need.
Right.
Commissioners need that role.
Thank you.
Let's not, and we know it's fairly urgent. I mean, we've got billions of dollars in federal and state funding getting ready to rain down on our state. Yeah. The last thing we need is a grant or a massive opportunity to improve our infrastructure or whatever it is, or the safety and health of our citizens, getting caught up in some kind of procedural issue that, quite frankly, we need to resolve. And again, thankful for Judy and Dave's time and working on that. But let's stay focused. Let's listen and respect the commissioner's thoughts. It appears to me they put a lot of time into it, and Jim and Gary have too. The administrator role, it's pretty, you know, and you may know this, and I guess this would be a time to ask it, haven't the commissioners pretty much always had some kind of person ranging from an administrator at $61,000 a year to an office assistant to, you know, it seems to me there's always been some level of support,
yeah.
And Blake, I don't know if you have.
Yep. Well, actually, I don't believe that. What they have had over the past decade and a half, but when I was a commissioner previously, we didn't have that administrative help. And to the detriment of the county, actually. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, however smart the Board of Commissioners is, I mean, you know, it's a big, big, big job, and you need all the help you can get. And very few times, like I've said before, this council here is one of the brightest that we've had, and we're still, you know, it's tough sledding getting this stuff done, and the questions that you have to answer and solve, and the challenge that you have, you know, I'm not going to say they're insurmountable because of the level of your quality, but it's going to be rough.
And so, serious question, you know, the commissioners are part-time, correct?
Well, that's what they told me.
You're paid part-time.
I'm taking
it. You're paid less
right.
than part-time.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and it's considered a part-time job, from my understanding. it is the responsibility within the Board of Commissioners and that executive body for the county a part-time job, or do you think it's a full-time responsibility that needs that 40-hour-a-week oversight?
I mean, it's always been this way, because it was going to be, the guy comes in from the field, he gets up there, does his thing, goes back to the field, i.e. Jerry Pittman. And so, yeah, if you had three people in there full-time, would it be more effective? I don't know.
I wasn't clear on that. I meant just the roles and responsibilities of the commissioner's office, not the commissioners themselves. You guys are part-time. Do you feel strongly that you need someone, and possibly more than one person, to full-time oversee the executive functions of the county?
100%. The thing of it is, I mean, I, like Ron and like Jerry, we are basically working full-time because this is public service. We didn't get in for the money, obviously, but we're trying to do our small part to improve local government in Brown County. So that being said, you know, I've got a real job, and but I spend, you know, I take probably 6-8 calls a day. I'm doing 4 or 5 meetings a week because it's important. But if you don't have somebody in this administrative position to make sure that you're not missing anything, it's like you said, there's going to be, and it's already happened, where you've had grants fall through the cracks because nobody's there watching it every second. So it's critical, and this job pays for itself immediately.
The other thing I would say from the council's perspective is, you know, we've seen several things occur just in my short 2 years here where things like 911 contracts, ambulance contracts, health insurance, you know, we have some very important decisions and oversight that are required, from my perspective, in a full-time capacity, to oversee those things and inform the council itself and protect our taxpayers in the administration of those duties. Because that, you know, we've seen, I think, every year since I've been on here, these things parachuting out of the sky that are nuclear bombs to our budget, and they explode it every year, the past 2 years.
Well, I will say that you guys have got great ideas. I mean, your concepts about this, try and get like the fund that we have, a little like the rainy day situation. I mean, you're already thinking a little bit more out of the box than previous councils have. So I'm well satisfied that you're going to do a tremendous job in fixing, you know, something that's really pretty well broke. So, you know, good luck to you on that. But, you know, we need this so that we can, you know, fix us. I don't know if Ron, do you have anything to add, Commissioner Sanders?
The only thing I remember seeing in the buzz is, I thought it was a 14 pay grade, but council sets that. That's what you decide to do, and that's what you decide to do.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention is a year or so ago, I was working with that position. I found it very, very beneficial in terms of communication between the council and the commissioners to keep things flowing smoothly. I also see that, from my perspective, the job could virtually pay for itself by the efficiencies, some of which Blake mentioned, in terms of grants, and also Scott mentioned. Keeping ahead of these things. It also provides an aspect of continuity between changes when we have elections. I know when I got into this job, I said this probably the last time, but when I got into this job, I thought, what are they doing letting amateurs run the county? And it's like, we don't necessarily know what we're doing. If you have a position that takes the internal controls, the policies, processes, and procedures, and holds them through when you have a change of officers, it brings you up to speed much quicker. I mean, otherwise it can take you a year or two to get up to speed. That's valuable time to be able to be brought up much quicker than that. So I see value in the position, just the communication. I also, in the job description, mentioned there is a liaison between the commissioners and the council. It's a very valuable function that I think is going to serve us well.
Mr. President, can I have a couple minutes?
Yes, sir.
First of all, Blake and Ron and Jerry, if you're listening, for me, there's no question that, you know, this has to be dealt with, and this person, an individual needs to be hired, and you guys need somebody in there to help. So, to me, that there's that the need for this position isn't even, I don't think there's a question that there's not a valid need for the position. However, what I've been receiving pushback on backroom conversations that I've had with, you know, various people is the distinction between are we hiring a commissioner's assistant or are we hiring a county administrator? All right, and well, I'm just telling you that's what the message that I'm receiving, and I'm just sharing it with you. So I'm not making a decision one way or the other, all right? But there's things like, you know, the biggest issue, you know, and this is maybe small, maybe I'm being nitpicky, but I'm just bringing this out. It states interpreting rules and regulations. So what I don't know, because this doesn't really speak to it, is how much discretionary authority does this individual have in making decisions on a day-to-day basis on their own?
Zero, unless they come before the three commissioners.
Okay, and I don't see that in here.
Well, I mean, okay. You know, Logue has gone through it. We've got Barnes and Thornburg making a fortune on us, sending this thing back to get it totally perfect.
Because actually that leads into one question that I was asked, is who actually created this document?
This one was basically the one that we wanted originally that was like a misfire, was Chuck. And as far as I know, right now, this is all comes from the legal.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So who created the document?
Barnes and Moga, Barnes and Thornburg, that group, or Sheely.
There you go.
Okay, there you go.
So Wagner, Irwin, Sheely created this document word for word. So did they start a blank document and create this document?
I don't believe so.
No,
okay.
They didn't.
I believe they took what the county council did, they took what legal did, they took what the commissioners talked about, they, like I said, did with legal, and this is supposedly the final draft.
Okay. Did anyone on the council have a hand in creating this document?
We discussed it at our last meeting and reviewed that job description. I reviewed both your job description.
No, what I'm asking is who created the document? Who had a hand in creating this document?
Yeah, I think
Jerry, did you have a hand in creating this document?
I suggested one thing about the liaison between the council and the commissioners, yes.
Okay, but you physically didn't have the Word document. I'm assuming it was created in a Word document and, you know, somebody typed it up, right? So I guess I'm just trying to get clarity around who actually created the document. So you're saying that Lori, that Wagner, Irwin, and Sheely created the whole document, typed it from word for word.
Well, it's boilerplate stuff. I mean,
Blake, I'm sorry, Ron. Okay, I'm just asking open-ended questions. Okay,
so I
don't know. This is the last month when we did the pay grade thing and voted on the job description. You know, that was a brand new experience. And so I'm sorry, but, you know, my responsibility is to ask good, open-ended questions.
Thank you.
To try to create clarity. That's all.
Mr. President, one more thought. I just want to re-clarify. Is it the commissioner's responsibility to write job descriptions and approve those, and the council to do the pay grade? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll add to that, Scott, based off the conversation that I believe Blake, Jerry Pittman, Gary Hewitt, myself, Julie Reeves was on a phone call with Mike Moga, that the process is that if we have a elected official over a specific office or department, that elected official begins the process with drafting up the job description. And then from there, my understanding is then to be handed off to the commissioners. And then it's up to the commissioners for final approval to vote on it. And then after that, then it comes to the council to sign a pay grade.
That makes sense.
We did that last meeting. So our part's done.
So you did vote on it and approved it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make sure that's in place.
It's all you guys now.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Any comments, Dave? You got anything to add?
So are we defunding the current commissioner assistant? And then this replaced with this job?
Blake, would you, I hate to ask you up again, refresh her, because that was a couple months ago, I think.
2023 budget's locked.
Yeah, it's a great question.
We're short, what, $700,000 on general funds?
I think we were talking about, right, going from a part-time to a full-time, and there was this change there, I think. Could you refresh our memory?
There was some concern that the assistant in there, Michelle, does a fine job, but her, you know, duties are very, very limited, but they're necessary. And so this job description, you know, as you can see, is way more comprehensive, and it does everything we need to function as a effective Board of Commissioners. Now, I was told that we could fund the position that is basically the phone receptionist till the end of the year. And then at that point, she's ready to retire anyway. So I don't know if what you're asking is if there's enough money to do this position and not get to the end of the line here. Is that what we're looking for?
No, I think we're telling you there's no money, because the calculations from Mr. Data over there is we're $700,000 short on what we expect the medical claims to be by the end of the
year. Yeah, I've been in those meetings. Yeah. You know, I've been in all those meetings, and I understand that part of it. You know, here's, and I refer back to Scott as saying.
Can I answer your question? So to add an incremental position in 2023, I don't know where that money comes from.
You're calling an incremental position. I'm calling a critical position. As Scott identified, this is going to be a position that you're going to lose money if you don't have somebody in that position.
Yeah, we get that, Blake. We get that. I do think, I'm looking at our budget, your budget request here, and there's a line that does cover what we're talking about, which is the difference between the full-time position and the part-time position. It's shown as $23,000. To bridge that gap, and so I do.
That was my understanding.
Yeah,
that's what
and
my
it's
understanding.
It's in your request. It's right here, and the council can decide on that. You know, however we. I don't know if you want to.
Why
say
are you looking at the 2024 book when we're talking about 2023?
Well, that's a good question. Fair question. Yeah, good point. So you're talking.
That's
about
what my question was.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
That's what my statement was, that we're already expecting to be in the hole in 2023 by several hundred thousand dollars when the medical claims all come in.
Correct.
And we get reimbursed.
Absolutely right.
So where do you get the incremental money in 23 to add another position to the Brown County team?
Yeah, good point.
And that's why I asked, does the current person go away, or have they left, or, you know, money could be applied to...
Dave, I don't know, correct me, Mr. Commissioners, if I'm wrong, but I believe for the rest of 23, for September through the end of December, is you will retain your... part-time commissioner's assistant, and then your intent is that this new person will take effect immediately, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do the two of you, can you guys testify this evening, and you have the right to remain silent, anything that you say can and will be used against the court of law going forward, that there's enough money currently in the commissioner's budget until December 31st of 2023 to cover both of those positions?
Absolutely. And you know what? You know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were in the red has nothing to do with this. This is a way that we can actually help you recover that, you know, going forward. You know what I'm saying is the ball's been dropped.
Yeah, I get that. We've got over $10 million in labor costs. And I'll just share this with the audience and everyone here. All right. You know, if we look at the total labor cost, we're at $6.8 million, and one of the very first things after we finally get this budget uploaded in Gateway and get it and meet our deadline and get it approved for 2024, the very first thing that we have got to work on as a council is we have to determine where's the cap on our labor cost. Because currently right now, based on the commissioner's office budget that was submitted for 2024, and I've got it all right here, this is all based off Baker Tilly, based off some general assumptions from Baker Tilly and the expenses. But right now, in the 4,700 account, we are $975,000 short. So the challenge is that if we're not able to come up with this, to find the money to cover this deficit, then the reality of it is, we may very likely find that we have exceeded the amount that we can actually afford in all-in total labor cost, and we may have to start reducing staff to free up the money. I mean, that's just where we are. So if there's
big challenges ahead of
us. Well, this is not
the place to try and cut corners.
We need to take a look and make sure that we're all taking a look at a 30,000 foot view, big picture, and that's just the hard, stark reality. Okay.
Appreciate y'all.
Okay. So
thanks for your genius.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. Mr. President, one more comment. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm thinking back to the ambulance contract rebid, the health insurance rebidding, and it seems to me there were some other major things that were tackled by the commissioners in the last year, and I'm recalling who drove that work and who really congealed it. I mean, the commissioners made those decisions, and we think did great work. I think it did great work, but I seem to recall it was that position, right, that really crunched the numbers, that bid out the services and oversaw the process. So to your point, I mean, I hear what you're saying, that this is a place where we can actually make progress.
Thank you.
In that role.
Along those lines, 2 years ago, if we had this activity of the council being involved with the communication process to put this through this position, I believe we could have saved $153,000 that ended up being wasted.
Thank you.
So I do believe this job could pay for itself and benefit the county in that way with efficiencies that it brings forth.
Thank you.
This all started, I believe, last fall. I'm going to go to the auditor. What I remember was we had $25,000 supposedly in a line somewhere for commissioner assistance. Besides the HR position. And the woman that's up front, the assistant, she's paid through like the salmon room. Okay? It was my understanding that there was still $25,000 there in a fund. Is there still $25,000 there that can be paid? But we also have her collecting for consulting fees. So my question is to the auditor, is the money there?
I don't know. I'll have to look into it, but I don't believe it's been touched because there's been no assistance.
Okay. That would be my answer, to see what the auditor can figure out if that money's there. That's all I have.
Mary?
May I just say something? And this is Mary Miller as a taxpayer. In last year's budget, the 2022 budget, we had one position. Okay, we had the commissioners. And then we had a part-time person because of leftover COVID stuff. The part-time person was still acting as a receptionist or assistant to the assistant. The assistant to the commissioners last year before she left for another position, she did both the HR work and commissioner's assistant work for the same pay that the HR person is doing now, if I'm not mistaken. So now you're talking about, I hate growing government, I really do. So we've got HR director, $42,351.26. Now, you're also considering a pay grade 15 for an administrative assistant at another $43,584.66. Plus, through this year, we're still funding the, $23,000 part-time position for the receptionist. Okay. And this was for a part-time office. Three part-time people who make, 20-some thousand dollars each? Well, I'm sorry, I know there are a lot of meetings involved. I was auditor for 8 years. In fact, while Blake was commissioner before, I did most of that work myself as auditor, because I was secretary to the commissioners. My point is, if you have three part-time people, why can't they man the office and do some of the work of just one of those full-time people?
I agree.
Tim?
Yeah, this has been a crazy, crazy discussion. I don't know how to unpack it. For one thing, Jim, and when you talk about positions, guys, the feds and the state have figured this stuff out. I mean, you come up with a job description, it's called position classification, and Judy and I talked about that. That's kind of a science in the personnel industry. I hate to tell you, the feds and the state figured that out. Our state of Indiana has figured that out. They have position classification specialists. So if you have a job description, you ought to have very specific on what you think those tasks are going to be. Then you have somebody independently and objectively look at those tasks, right? And then look at the skills, knowledges, and abilities that are required to perform that task. That's called position classification. So the state has job descriptions, they have a classification, and lo and behold, once you have the tasks, the skills, knowledges, and abilities identified, then you can identify the salary range for those skills, knowledge, and abilities. So you may start at one level and say, with time and on-job training and experience, it goes up two or three levels, whatever that is. But that's an independent and objective analysis of the job description, the duties and responsibilities. And before you come up with the job description, A, you might identify what the need is. I haven't heard a documented need. I heard a lot of anecdotes. You know, thank God we didn't say the position would save climate change. Glad we didn't link that in. I was waiting for it, though, waiting for it. But we said, oh, you know, the sky will fall. Well, really? I mean, I haven't seen a needs assessment on this position. Haven't seen it. What exactly do you do? And Gary, to your point on amateur, that's a great way of starting, okay? But I hate to tell you, I've sat through 7 years of these things. It's not unique. The council and the commissioner, you do the same thing. The categories of what you do is the same thing every year. It's not rocket science. It's paying attention to what it is you're doing. And if you looked at the skill and the tasks responsible for the commissioners, if you identified what those were and you had a simple SOP on the common things that you do, I mean, every time I hear this, it's like this is the first time in the history of Brown County that we ever passed an ordinance or ever passed a resolution or ever approved a contract or didn't approve a contract. It's like new every time, and it's the same thing every year. It's Groundhog Day. So if you standardize those, I hate to tell you, you've got three officials in a commissioner position. They ought to be able to figure out and task organize who's going to do and what so these things don't fall through the cracks. And Jim, on this health insurance, kudos to you for getting the answers on health insurance. I remember 2017, I started raising the flag when the school was in a $7 million deficit, I think it was, when it came to health insurance. And they revamped the thing, 2017. Why aren't we doing that, I asked. And you couldn't get good answers. And every time we had a change in health insurance, I heard, I'll be damned, this is going to give us a 2-to-1 return on investment. Heard that from the last promise like that was from the clinic. It's going to save us 2-to-1. It didn't save us 2-to-1. We didn't even know how to measure if it's going to save us 2-to-1. We didn't even know, but we did it. We spent more money. Although we were running that deficit every year. We'd wait till what, August, September, October to come up that 600, 700, 800,000, whoops, we need more money for health insurance. What a surprise, because we underestimated at the budget. We didn't tell everybody that we underestimated expenses. So when it comes back into need, and then last year, to Mary's point, we had former commissioners stated in the public record that she was the first full-time commissioner in the history of the county, which made you wonder what the other two do. And then, of course, we had one position, and as Mary pointed out, we split that out into an HR director.
Yet we still are
having the same. I don't know what's the difference between what happened last year with a full-time person and then what happened after you split it all up. What's remaining? And I haven't seen analysis on that. So bottom line is, do the homework, guys. As a citizen, Do the homework. You haven't validated a need for this thing. Maybe you need it, maybe you don't. Maybe you're going to save $10 zillion. I doubt it. You're not going to convince me you're going to do it. But bottom line is, document the need. Document the need so we all understand that the solution is going to fix the need.
Thank you, Tim. Just to your point, I am a rocket scientist. That's logical. This is all convoluted. The government is totally convoluted the way they go about things. It doesn't make sense. The way these funds work, you have to really get into them and find out this fund does that, this fund doesn't do that, you can't transfer here, you can't transfer there. It's very different than private industry also. But I'm just saying, those things do help you understand to get continuity going through when you have changes of officers. So the other thing, if one commissioner chooses to declare themselves a full-time or whatever commissioner, that's their choice. It doesn't mean it's the standard of how it works. So. And in terms of the job description, it seemingly addresses or relates to what is the need based on what is described in the job description. Were you going to say something, Scott?
Have you had a chance to look at the job description, Tim? You have.
Saw the early versions of it, Scott. That's why I said I'd do the job for a dollar.
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to understand the analysis of the need and hearing that the commissioners are responsible for that. I mean, I know they put a lot of work into it, and the council's talked about it a lot, and the description describes what they need the position for and what it would do. Is there something I'm missing with that, or just want to make sure I understand what you're saying?
Think of it. What do you think? When you look at needs, Scott, look at outputs. What's produced?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see that over here, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, thoughts?
When we had the county administrator, the county administrator was HR, correct?
And grants.
Yes.
Yes.
Grants. Okay, so I remember there was a large push to get rid of, defund, and completely eliminate the county administrator who was paid $70,000 because it was too expensive. We've now taken that county administrator role, broke it out into two separate jobs, costing $86,000 even.
I think there's another fact to that too, and this was when I was just coming in for service, is that it appeared there was an unelected official making decisions over monies and
right. Yeah,
that was a potential topic. Everything you said is correct, but I think there was that.
Darren, was that when Mike Thompson was here?
Yes.
He was running the county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He thought he was.
Yeah. Everybody else thought he was, too.
Yes.
I just go back to the same point. It's how many people live here, and does that include babies and children?
Mm-hmm.
And how busy can our county offices be?
Part of the problem with that is the state dictates a lot of things, such as funds, grants, things of that nature, that is sort of generic across all counties. We have to keep up with that. As I mentioned, if we can keep up with grants, possibly we can do that. Some of the particular needs in this one are we have been hit by the State Board of Accounts saying we need to do an asset management inventory, which is something we've been lacking on for quite a while. That is something that this will entail. So these are vital things that the state demands of us.
I apply for grants for a nonprofit, and I've gotten everything I've applied for. It isn't that hard.
Hmm. Great. It's not only just applying, it's tracking
sure.
That. Because when SBOA, State Board of Accounts, was in here, they said, they had to go looking quite variety of places to find where all our grants are. There's efficiencies, as I mentioned, to operating in this with a functional position.
I understand that. It just seems like we have enough people that should be doing that.
May I say something, please?
Yes.
I have no problem with the county commissioners having a secretarial type position to assist them. I just want to say that we need to take a look and think about what we're going to fund if we decide we're going to fund this, because this is pretty comprehensive, and it sounds to me very county administrator-like. That's all I'm going to say. Just be very careful what kind of pay grade we assign it, and is this really something that we want to fund?
Another question of clarity. In the job description, I noticed there the duties and responsibilities imply a full-time position, a full-time five-day-a-week presence during business hours. It does not say that specifically.
Correct.
Is this position expected to be an employee in the office every day during business hours, not doing telework or work from home? Is this a physical presence in the office every day during business hours?
Absolutely.
It does not say that specifically.
Okay, well then, then we need to get Sheely. I mean, if somebody miswrote something on it, what I'm saying is this, 8 to 4, whatever the hours are, 5 days a week, that's the gig.
It's implied in the job description. As you go down through there, it says interacting with visitors and other department heads. And
that's one of the other things. If somebody was concerned about working from home and ghost employment, XYZ and all that, so take all that stuff out of it, lay it on the lap of the attorney, get the thing so everybody's happy with it, which obviously they didn't do. But, in the meantime, here we are needing this position.
And may I ask another question?
Yes.
And again, I realize that we're about funding, but if we're going to fund, I think we need to have our questions answered. Serves as a contact person for the Veterans Office, Planning and Zoning Office, Emergency Management Office, the GIS Office, Information Technology Office, Maintenance Office. I guess I'm a little confused because all those people have full-time employees in their own office. So why does this person have to serve as a contact person for those offices? That's just one of my questions. And, as I said last time, also is the liaison between the commissioners and the county council members. Hey, I have no problems talking to the county commissioner. I don't need a liaison. Come to me. As I've said to you, Blake, you got a problem? Call me. Let's have lunch. I don't need a liaison. I need to have a conversation with the person. If I got a problem with Julie, I'm going to go talk to Julie. I have a problem with Jim Kemp, I'm going to talk to Jim Kemp. I don't need a liaison. Also, is the project manager on special projects assigned by the Board of Commissioners? What kind of project? Is whoever we're hiring going to be qualified to do that? What does that mean exactly? Informs commissioners, county departments, agency officials on budgetary matters. I brought this up last time. I believe that county council is supposed to be taking care of financial matters, but it's still in there. Those are just a few of my concerns that when we go to fund this, we need to be thinking about, because there's a lot in this job description that I think is giving that person carte blanche.
Let me explain my experience with the liaison portion. It basically goes down to some of what Scott was saying in terms of grants, contracts, things of that, the details, where we can see and have better communication on the actual financial details, benefits, things of that nature. So it's sort of a clearinghouse. And I find very strong, I have found historically strong value in that.
Might I add something?
The commissioners need someone up there who is going to be there for anything, because things are getting dropped. Things are not getting to my office that need to be in my office. I don't have answers to things I need answers to. And it's not that they don't try to do it, they're just, like they said, they have other jobs. I need somebody that's going to be there full-time, that's going to be responsible enough to answer questions that has to be answered and try to get it fixed. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and I work with commissioners across the state and across the nation and in my day job, and I can tell you they don't sit in the office all day behind a desk and staff. That, you know, they just don't. They're talking to constituents, they're full-time employees and other things. And so I do, and I can also relate to being the former director of planning commission. You know, when I had to contact, and I think I worked under Blake at some point, you know, when you have to communicate something to all of those people, you know, I think I had 23 bosses. I considered myself to have the planning commission, the BZA, the commissioners, the council. If I had to call each of those people individually rather than communicating through the office itself, and that person knows where those people are, they know when they're available, they know how they like to be communicated with, it can help. But I understand what you're saying, Judy, about not duplicating services here. Completely understand that.
Can I make a suggestion, Gary?
So the person that they're looking to hire, it can apply for grants.
They get track grants. We're not sure they're going to apply for grants.
And to that point, you know, we don't have a grant administrator on staff right now, or not on staff, or even contracted. I mean, that is something we desperately need. And the problem is, I don't know what the problem is. And I'm not sure anyone does. And I see the vacuum. Mary's saying money.
It's
and that's
money.
That's the opportunity cost of not having this role is we have some things like that that, you know, I think are just not understood, or people don't have the time to do, and they're not getting done, and I see it. I mean, I see it, I you know. So
it would be more like, for instance, if Centerstone wants to get a grant, we have someone there with a knowledgeable basis to interact with Centerstone and say, okay, here's what you need from us to get the grant. Probably. Right?
Not trying to complicate things, but it sounds to me like we're not 100% sure we can fund it. Sounds to me like we're still questioning the job description. I think we're not quite there. You guys can vote however you want. I'm not trying to influence either way, but just don't sound like we're quite there. And then, you know, by the next meeting, maybe we will be there. I don't know. That's just, it just don't seem like we're quite there.
Ron, do you think we need this position? Do you think you need this position?
My suggestion to Gary and Jim, let's put somebody in the office on Tuesday and Thursday when the other one is not there. But with that said, the other two commissioners believe this is a valuable tool for them. I probably have more time than they do. And in the beginning of the year, I was in here about half a day, almost every day. But with everything that was going on, I kind of backed up. I decided to let you guys get the budget fixed, get the budget done. I wasn't quite there on all that, but, you know, I'm learning.
So it sounds like you voted no for the position.
Originally, when she was the consultant, I was a no. I've worked with Melissa's son, and she seems pretty knowledgeable. Is she there to be the administrator and be the head of the commissioners? I think we've got just a little bit farther to go.
A lot further.
She's not intended to be the administrator here of the commissioners.
I believe that's important. Just saying. And like I said, I'd like to see the findings there. Mm-hmm. You guys do what you want to do.
Okay. Dave?
Well, I very much appreciate Commissioner Saunders' comments, because I think that's what I was going to suggest. But not wait until the next meeting. I think we've raised three or four key questions. And we have the checkbook. Mm-hmm. And not just to make it simple. And I think if we can show where the money is going to come from, especially in light of the gaps that Mr. Data over there has shown, that would make me feel better to support this. And I don't know why we couldn't do that in the next two or three business days. If we can reconvene and look, How long does it take to advertise? A week? Or maybe we've already got something on the calendar. I heard a rumor that we've got meetings on the 5th and the 6th.
Yeah, we do with Jack.
Okay. So, I just feel, everyone's made the case that they need help, okay? I just don't know where the dollars and the numbers are coming together, and I just think if we go off and do our job, which is to make those numbers match, then we can come back with confidence. And all the other points that have been made, that's a commissioner's meeting there about the job content, and, Tim's comments about the need and things like that. Since we've been cut off to just do salary grade assignments now, I think we've got to do that absolutely perfect. So I can't tell you where the money's coming from on this, if somebody came up and asked me. So I'd like a couple of days to work with, whoever can data mine and show me where these dollars are at.
Yeah, Dave, I appreciate that. I do think this has been on our plate, I don't know how many months now. This is at least the second month, at least. And so I think, we've got to, not let the perfect be the enemy of the good or whatever.
By the way, the context of my comments were 2023.
Yeah.
We'll tackle this position in 2024.
And so I just want to make sure that we aren't just, this is our, and if we drop the ball on this, we're here to talk about this position. It was advertised a month in advance. If we still don't know and you want a few more days, I understand that. But we got to do our jobs here.
And
I think that's what you're suggesting.
And she's on contract now, supposedly doing this.
It's not she. We interviewed six people. We've got six people. We don't know who's getting the job. We just need the job needs to be filled.
Right. I think the reference was to who is being contracted to do that job right now.
And that's a reference to the position being a necessity.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that. I thought the contractor was doing most or all of this work already.
But it is the necessity. That's what they're doing with it. I think that we're on the same page.
So where's the urgency? Where's the fire?
I didn't say urgency. I said necessity.
Oh, okay. All right. So we can't have a couple of days to figure out where the money is coming from in 23?
I'm not against
it.
$20,000. Well, I feel like we're dropping the ball here. So.
Yeah, we can't explain where the money's coming from.
That's our role.
Yeah.
Well, we can take a motion to either go ahead or table it for a few days. Anyone want to make a motion?
And would you include a meeting date on that so we don't just.
If you get us back together a week, I would motion that we go off and do our homework and find out where this money's coming from and get back together as soon as we can. A week, 5 days, whatever it takes to advertise.
So, just for clarification, so is your motion to table it, make sure we can fund it for 2023? If we can fund it for 2023, then we come back and approve it?
Well, that would be another motion. My motion is we got to go. Solve money, and then I think you guys were trying to get an influence, some tailoring.
Because the issue is that first and foremost, if we're going to look to see if the auditor's office, if the commissioner's budget has the money to fund it for 2023, then what pay grade are we funding it at?
What's your analysis suggest, 15?
I'm not good. It's 14. A month ago, we passed a 14. It's what we passed.
Well, I'd like us to go off find out where the money is, and then we can come back and say what level we can fund it.
Okay. You're reminding me of I think Blake and Ron, or Ron, said when they were asked that question, can you fund that within the commissioner's budget? Did I recall that, Blake, that you said you could?
We can.
Okay. So if we're willing to take their word on that and hold them accountable, right, and if they can't find it, if they come to us in December, and Blake, I'll tell you, you come to us in December and say you need more money for this position or you need money for something else that looks like it's for this position,
right.
I will vote no.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
My statement was I'd like to know from the auditor if the money's there.
Yeah. Well, it's the council's responsibility. Yeah. This is our decision. We set the pay grade, and I would suggest we set the pay grade at least we take their word, we're talking about working together here, guys. I mean, this is, we've spent, is it really almost 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Good Lord. And we're going to have another special meeting.
Keep going.
They've talked about to us, they've already said they can fund the position. I've already committed to voting no. If Blake comes and asks for more money for this position, I will vote no. I don't know what more we need here. Let's just make a decision, yes or no. If we want to fund the position, our job is to set the pay grade, not work the job description, and I'm confused by that too, but they put more work into it than anybody. I'm prepared to make a vote and make a motion.
I'll make a motion for a pay grade. Go ahead.
Wait a minute, I thought Dave Redding had a motion.
He does.
Before.
Okay, did you actually make a motion, Dave?
No.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Gary, whatever you want to do.
No, if we have a motion, that's what we do.
You want to table it until the next meeting on the 5th.
Okay, that's the motion.
We do this in September?
Yes.
Is there a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, we got what?
Four.
So, Julie, can you afford us being in your office as soon as tomorrow?
Who was the four?
Who was that?
Who was the four? I saw Cam. No, I saw you.
Judy.
Judy.
Okay.
And Darren.
Joel. And Darren. Five.
Five.
So, can we be in your office then tomorrow, the next day? When can we?
Sure.
We have the office.
No.
Oh, you've got a meeting tomorrow.
Well, just let us know, okay? Because we'll go through the numbers. And
yeah, my expectation is once we verify the 2023 funding, then what we do is we get back together and then we make a decision and we move forward because there's other stuff that we know right now that governs the amount. So,
and Tim, I agree with everything that you stated. Okay? Right there with you.
Except climate change, right?
With you, except for climate change, yeah, right.
Except for the insult on rocket scientists. Okay. Next item on the agenda is Tom Riott, requested stipend.
Can we keep it under 2 hours, Tom?
Yeah, keep it under 2 hours, Tom.
I'm going to try. So hopefully the last month you guys were able to read all the stuff that I left at your chairs. A lot more stuff has come up with the county wanting to use the drones and the GPS. I'm requesting the council to vote on a stipend for me temporarily until you can like do a pay grade change. But this is all above and beyond my job description. I'm asking for $5,000 for the drones and $5,000 for the GPS. And I'll take that one step further, and I can tell you, I can probably show you how to fund it.
Tonight?
Yeah.
How would you fund it?
Julie, what's the WTH GIS line item number? Is it 06,000? But that's what it's under, is the GIS WTH line item.
Yes.
And Chad's here to tell you a little bit about a lot more of what is coming up with using that. Got a lot on our agenda with that, especially with Chad coming in real quick.
We've got $6.8 million in labor costs. We got over $3 million in employee benefits. Our total labor cost and employee benefits is well in excess of $10 million a year.
Right now, we're looking at a deficit of $975,000. We don't have enough money to pay the group. Hopefully, you won't have any medical claims because you know what? We just kind of don't have any money to pay your medical claims, all right? So I don't know how that sets. And we're on an unsustainable financial path, period. Okay? And the sooner that everybody kind of wraps their head around the reality that we're going to hit the wall, you know, my joke with Standard & Poor's is how long before they just hit us and assign us a double B status, which is junk status, on our bond rating, which means we pay a lot higher interest rates if we need to borrow any money. This is serious.
And behind the scenes, and what we've discussed, we have, Dave was going to do a presentation this evening on it, is that first and foremost, we as a county have got to establish a bar, okay? And I appreciate you, I value what you do, okay? And I understand where you're coming from, all right? But that argument has been made by the sheriff's department, I mean, every department, everybody out here, we can look outside and we can see. And what I don't know is that once we can establish a cap on our labor costs, which is what we've got to do, the next thing we've got to look at is we've got to look at our staffing requirements as a county. We may be overstaffed and we may have to go in and do a head count. Because here's what I do know is if we don't have, if we're short $975,000 and we don't have the money to pay your medical claims, which keep in mind we've been written up by the State Board of Accounts and Standard & Poor's have already made comment on it with regards to the county's credit rating. So this is serious. This is not something that we can just turn a blind eye to, you know, and make false assumptions with our carryover balances and false assumptions with our revenues like we've done in the past and just assume that we'll have more money at the end of the year and we'll be okay. Guess what? That doesn't happen, all right? So we've got to take a hard look at this. We've got to take a look at the cap on the labor cost. We've got to take a look at our staffing requirements. I agree and in agreement with everyone. I absolutely detest the current pay grade system that we have. But one of the challenges that we've got is, are we a merit-based system or are we a seniority-based system? I bet you we could sit in this room and talk for 3 hours just on that subject alone. So there's work that we've got to do going forward, and that work needs to begin after we can get this budget passed, get it submitted, get it certified through the DLGF, and then beginning, you know, September, October, November, December, because this is going to take us a good 6 months to reevaluate where we are financially, reevaluate our compensation. And I'll personally tell you right now, I absolutely dislike this stipend system that we've got. We're spending $150,000 on stipends. And the stipend situation, to me, is a very subjective approach, okay, to go in and say, well, we like this person, so we're going to give them more money. I absolutely detest that. If you're worth $100,000 a year because of what you do and your value proposition, then by God, we either value you or we don't.
That's where I'm at.
That's right. And I don't blame you, okay? But here's the bigger problem is, can we afford $100,000 a year GIS? I don't know. Right. Yeah, that's the issue, right? Right. So until we're able to go through, put a cap on our labor costs, look at our staffing requirements, and maybe, because here's, and let me share this with you, and most of you won't probably realize this. First of all, 77% of the workforce in Brown County government is in Tier 1 and Tier 2. Now, what I mean by Tier 1, Tier 2, there are 30 pay grades, not 35, not 36. There's 30 because the beginning pay grade starts at a pay grade 6. So what I did is I went through and took the pay grades, divided them up into 5 classifications. I just referred to it as a tier, right? Over two-thirds of our employees are in Tier 1, Tier 2, which are the lower pay grades. In addition to that, now we look at turnover, right? We have 48% of the workforce in Brown County government that leave within the first 5 years. Okay? That's a problem. That's a big issue. Now, I don't know if it's directly correlated to the pay or the fact that people can't buy a house because it costs $300,000 and up to try to live in this county. So there's going to be multiple factors that influence that. But if 48% leave within the first 5 years, the other 25% are gone within the next 6 to 10. So if you add that up, we've got 74-75% of the current employee base that roll in and out that first 5 years, and then in the next 10 they leave. And then very few that hang on. So clearly our longevity at $100 a year doesn't work, all right? Because we don't have anybody. And here's the thing on longevity. $75,000 is what we're paying out longevity. So do the math. Take, you know, divide $75,000 by $100, and there's how many years you got somebody that people have been around to hang around long enough at Brown County government. You know, and on part of that, while I'm on a roll, on this compensation issue, keep in mind, in addition to the employee benefits, we also pay out $392,000 a year for our pension plan for the Sheriff's Department. Okay? And that's not included in there. So we as a council have got an enormous amount of work to do in front of us. So I hope you guys are ready to roll your sleeves up, because we got some serious issues we're going to have to address in the next. Well, I would like to see us, you know, set a goal, and so by the time, you know, take Tim's advice, and by the, you know, have a goal by the you know, the end of April, that we've got this, we've pretty got a good feel for it. Because the other thing, Julia, that I'm going to throw out here and then I'm done, is that these Form 1s that the departments submit, you know, I think we ought to have a deadline of April 1st. The Form 1s go to the auditor's office. Then if Sandy's keying them into the LOW system, then they key them in, they go back to the department heads. They have an opportunity to make corrections to those Form 1s. You guys then make the changes, but by the time it hits us, I don't want to see anything in that data binder changed, period. So there's a final deadline, and that deadline ought to be June 1 or something. We need to come up with some deadlines. But the way this process has worked this year is insane. We were late getting the Form 1s into the auditor's office. We were late getting out, and then here we are, backed up in the corner right now with this deadline coming up, and we got to figure out, you know, what the heck we're going to do. So I had to vent. My frustration level is 10.
Wait till he comes up to speed on everything, huh? Is this a grant that would pay for the... Would you like to tell them a little bit more about what we got coming up?
Is it warranted? I mean, at this point.
If it's not external income, then we're back to the same thing we were with the...
Where it comes from. But, you know, for modernity's sake, I think if you're working to plug a hole in the dike right now, please also keep what the future does hold for us. I mean, if you look at $10,000 now to keep this capability up, which I hope to beat the hell out of them, quite frankly, we don't have that capability. Well, I'll also be asking you folks for $10,000 for just one flight out for a helicopter. If we have a flood and we have to bring a helo in,
why does the Sheriff's Office not support you with their drones?
The collective drone program, they do. I mean, it's just support, the detailed level of services for what product I'm needing. Eventually, I'd like to get into applying drones with data. We are missing a huge opportunity in GIS mapping.
It goes hand in hand with the GPS.
Yeah, and that, you know, those get us into pre-planning, so I can be more of a predictive, analytical emergency manager, not just showing up with my hand out when I need some money. Sorry, sir.
No, you're good. The only thing I would like to add, last week we had, as you know, we had our budget hearings, right? Okay. And we spend over $5 million a year on the justice system. Okay, and when I say justice system, I'm talking about Bob and Tom get drunk at Story, flip the car, Tom gets killed. He goes to 911, and so what's the sequence of events, right? So, like, I didn't realize that they arrest Bob. Was it Bob or Tom that died? I can't remember. And they arrest him. Well, they can't arrest him because they got to take the ambulance. He's got to take him in. We spend $560,000 a year on the ambulance, by the way. We take him to IU, to the emergency room. We can't arrest the guy until after he gets out of the hospital, because if we arrest him before, then we're liable for the medical claims. Now, we've got this justice system that we're paying out an enormous amount of money every year. We, as all of us that call Brown County home, right? Well, what I don't know is what percentage of the and you could use the, you know, circuit court, which is caseload. You could use caseload, I suppose, for prosecuting attorney. I don't know if you would call it traffic, you know, what you call it, the sheriff's department. I don't know what the activity level is for the sheriff deputies. I don't know what the activity level is for the 911 emergency services. But what I do know is if we're spending $5 million and we got 15,500 people that live in our community full-time, we got some serious problems if most of those calls are the people that live in Brown County. And I don't think that's the case. I think the reality of it is we said here last week, we got over 3 million visitors that roll in from out of town every year. What percentage is that caseload, the calls that you get, the calls that we get, that are from those that live out of county? You know, one of the decisions we as a council got to make that is whether or not we want to continue to fund an individual that works in the jail, that individual's there to focus specifically trying to reduce the recidivism rate.
Okay, we're expanding pretty far here. We need...
Well, what my point is we've got an audience. We usually don't have this many people showing up, okay? And I think I've got a pretty good grasp on the big picture. And your GIS, you're over here at Emergency Services. And what I'd like to encourage the two of you to do is, you know, if we can work to try to collect the data from the circuit court, prosecuting attorney, sheriff's department, emergency services, to have a better understanding of the level of activity and where are these people coming from.
I guess I don't understand what activity you're talking about.
Well, I mean, you got 911 calls, right? So how many 911 calls do we get out of the state park every year?
Right.
I don't know. Okay. How many 911 calls do we get to where you got a domestic violence case since Joe Bob beating his wife up? They came over here for the weekend from Bedford. So what I don't know is all the tickets, the citations, the everything, this the workload that the justice system has to process the caseload. Mary Wirtz told me that, you know, she can go out on a Monday and have 60 cases that she's got to handle just on a Monday. And I don't know what the volume of cases that rolls through the prosecuting attorney, but my question is simply this. Everybody in the county, and then we all walk around here going, you know, if we could only get a dollar more from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, you know, to get at the gate, boy, that could help us, you know, help us, right? And I don't think the Indiana Department of Natural Resources has got any money they want to give up. But what I think we can do is if we can build a solid case and prove that we're spending this money for the state of Indiana's tourism, because that's who's profiting off of the tourism, right? That we can lobby against the state of Indiana and show, here's, you know, we're spending this to subsidize, we're in essence subsidizing the state of Indiana is what we're doing.
Conversation later.
So,
yeah, we need to get back to the issues at hand.
Yeah, sorry.
Appreciate it, Jim.
That's the reason we need a 3-minute timer on it.
Yeah, right. We're going to get one of those big ones. Anyways, okay, time out. So what he's saying is we'd like to support these things. We have to get our ducks in a row down here to support the county. Otherwise, we're not going to have a county able to be funded. Plus, we did talk to Standard & Poor's last week, and if they raise our interest rates, for instance, or lower our rating, which means higher interest rates at this point when they're up 4 to 6 to 7%, that's going to just take more money away from the people. So we need to make a good presentation in terms of the getting our ducks in a row. So I think the other hope you have is when we get to what Dave's trying to propose here in terms of changing our salary grades, we'll review all these things and have another option in the near future to look into this. So right now we are probably, it's not the best time.
Even if I can show you where the money's at.
Okay, sure, that's fine.
I just did.
Okay.
I looked it up, Tom. I didn't find that line in our budget, so I couldn't.
Let's do a timeout.
Commissioner's budget.
The money gets appropriated at the beginning when we finish our process in Q4 of the year. Then it gets appropriated on January 1. If you don't use that money, it comes back to the general fund to cover lack of money for medical claims. We had the carryover of, what, $650,000. So just because you think there's money in an account, We should be actually appropriating that money back with the permission of who's got that fund in order to cover these gaps that Mr. Data has shown us here. So just because the money is out of the line, it's still the Brown County taxpayer money.
I was just trying to point out an area of where it could come from.
Well, I was hoping you were going to tell me that you guys got a grant or something to pay for it. But, Jay, that's...
I mean, because I've been doing it for 7 years now. It's been above and beyond my job description. And life changes with me forced me to come and ask.
You should say no then.
To emergency management?
If it's not
to search and rescue?
If you want to do it on your own, that's great.
That's what I've been doing.
This county is great because of the volunteers.
Right.
That's what makes Brown County special, because of all the people.
You guys have a lot of money invested in this. You have a lot of money invested in me and training.
Understand, we're not debating you and the importance of your service and what you do. We're accountable to the taxpayers to show where this money comes from, and that there's no negative balance at the end of the year, 2023.
Okay? Well, I'm just saying, this is like the AED out in the hall. You know, everybody walks past it until it's needed. And then, so, I take that as a no, and I'll sit down.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, we're starting to explain the Cisco at this point.
We need a break for just a second.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Everybody agreed deeply.
To that, Tom, don't take it as a no. Take it as a...
It's a no right now.
Yeah, temporarily, right, at least.
We've got that meeting in...
I guess what you're asking me to do then is continue to do it without compensation until that can be figured out.
What we're saying is we got a lot of stuff to figure out.
What I'm saying is if a family member of mine is lost in the woods and you get called to take a drone out to save their lives, I hope you continue to volunteer.
Right.
I appreciate what you're doing, and I know we all appreciate public safety. It's not just the full-time paid sheriff's staff that's doing this work. Thank you.
I hear a lot of talk about you guys having employee turnover.
Well, I know. That's something that's weighing heavily on us. That's something that weighs heavily on me, personally, because I don't like the turnover. We get good people in here, and we're going to keep the good people. We have only so much money, and that's part of this. That's part of this restructuring of the salary grade that we have to look at.
Okay.
We want to make sure that if you were doing something above and beyond what
that's what we were told 8 years ago was, if I took on extra responsibilities, I'd be compensated.
You did get a stipend at one point.
I didn't. No. I got nothing. I haven't had a raise in 7 years.
He gave you a stipend for something.
Can you get a 3% step up from 22 to 23?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Because I'm going to say this, Tom. I don't want you to have a stipend. I want your job description to match the pay grade, okay?
And that's what I'd like.
If you're worth 80 grand a year, then we pay you 80 grand a year, period. All right? We either value the employees or
that's what I'm saying. You either appreciate me or you don't.
Right. Or that's right where I'm at with that.
Okay.
But the challenge with it is we've got to, how much money can we afford every year?
So how long are you telling me I need to wait then?
Not very long. Give us until the end of April. We'll have it figured out.
The end of next year.
Yeah, we got to figure out.
You know my 10 years is up in March.
Okay, so what does that mean?
A lot of people out there.
Well, Tom, you've got to act in your best interest.
You're right.
And if you get a $100,000 a year job and go to work for Johnson County, you'd be a fool not to do it.
Right.
Period. And I would hate to lose you.
I really would. Because I've strived real hard.
I know. I don't want to lose you, but I don't blame you. You could go to work in Johnson County for $100,000 a year. You should not be out of here.
I'll let you
stay stuck. Right.
Thanks.
So.
Okay, let's go on to the next item. Hopefully these will be less controversial. Okay, non-binding reviews. This is for review and only requires a motion. Julie?
Yep.
Sign off on it?
Yep.
Signature?
Anywhere, or just on the back, or how we sign off?
Huh?
Pick a place to sign it.
You want it in the front or the back?
Yeah.
Does it have to be legible? I have no idea to sign it. I think it's a quick claim deed on your property.
All right, while that's going on, Brown County Sheriff's Department has received an insurance check and would like to put it into the Sheriff's Field Safety Security. Line 1000.4200.0005 for needed equipment.
How much is the check?
They never said.
I think they were
600,000 or so.
Really? Why would I want to do this? I don't know how much. If it's insurance proceeds, what's insurance proceeds for? How much is the check?
Okay. I'm going, really?
Would you take a motion on that, Sheriff Slatum?
Soon as we find out what they found us.
Yeah, this is the vehicle that they had an accident, just wants to put it back into equipment.
I've said it too, Jim makes a good point.
Yeah.
Want to table this? Would you take a table motion there?
Come back just a second, Gary, so you can hear us.
No, we're not doing business.
Plenty of funds and a lot of money for that request. She's trying to get Tammy her grant.
I think we have to table that for the moment.
Yeah, let's table it.
Okay, it's tabled.
All right.
Another sheriff's issue.
Need a motion to table?
Yes, let's get a motion to table.
I'll make a motion to table it.
A second.
We'll take discussion on that.
Pardon?
You take discussion on that.
Only after we get the number, otherwise.
I'm trying to, do you have some information there on this item here? Is this what this is?
No, that's totally separate issue.
Okay. I thought he was here last meeting and said he had a, it was.
We need to get.
So we'll do this on the 5th then, you know what we're going to do?
Is it in the minutes that you approved?
The minutes?
Was it discussed at the last meeting?
Oh.
The green folder, where's the green folder?
The red folder.
I mean, this is, I think it was $4,000.
No, the minutes went that way.
He's already.
Here's to us. We're reviewing the minutes to see if the figure is in that description. Good idea, Mary.
Because he also had money coming in from some sales too.
Yeah, your sales.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
And my question, Dave, on that is if, can, how does the sheriff sell the property when the sheriff doesn't own it, the property's owned by the commissioner's office? So in theory, wouldn't the commissioner's office sell the property, not the sheriff's department? Because the commissioner's office owns everything in the county.
You want me to answer?
I don't see anything.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, go for it. I don't care.
You just signed the title.
Down ahead.
I understand that anything that's sold for over $1,000 needs county council approval. And if.
County commissioners?
No, I'm sorry. County council. Yeah. Anything over $1,000 needs county council approval if I read it right.
Okay.
It could be.
But you guys need to sign the title, right?
If. It's getting late and I've been out in the heat. So I'm going to speed this up on my part when I get here.
Yeah.
But that money needs to be identified from which fund it come out of. And it needs to go back in that fund.
That's it.
And if that fund can't be identified, then it goes in the general fund. And then at that point, then I believe you can pass it back to the sheriff's office. I believe we sold some equipment at the highway garage, when was it, last year? And we passed it right to the sheriff's office. So
okay, that sounds
that's
right.
That. Right.
That's what
the line know about it. Thank
you. Okay, thank you.
All
right, so where
are we at? There were all the titles too.
Somebody.
Darren seconded that. All in favor? Aye. Table it.
Aye.
Okay, no. Table.
Aye.
Table. Say no.
Yeah.
Okay. The commissioners are supposed to sign the titles, our leases, and now any contract, it takes two commissioners signing the contract.
Okay, let's move on. Thank you.
Thank you.
We got another item for the Sheriff's Department. This is just an information piece listed below you. This is the commissary numbers. Listed below you will find the figures required by law to be submitted to the County Council semi-annually regarding receipts and disbursements from the Brown County Jail Commissary account January 1, 2023 through June 30, 2023. As of January 1, the opening balance was $56,710.84. There are disbursements and income. If you want to, we'll get into those. Otherwise, the closing balance as of June 30th is $59,048.78. Any questions, comments, or concerns on that?
Could you take a motion?
Yes.
Move that we approve the commissary report as presented.
Second. Made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. All right. Next item is county commissioners. Ron's already there.
Okay. I'm not asking for the money tonight. I know it's not there. What we're probably looking at is we're going to probably need a loan, take some bonds out. This all needs to happen relatively fast by the end of the year. After the meeting you had with Baker Tilly, I believe it was, I took about 5 minutes afterwards and talked to her. And I was originally under the impression we had to wait until 1/25, but we don't. The loan can be taken out. We start the process now. We need to get all of our ducks in a row and have it ready to roll by the end of the year. It's not just for this. These air conditioners are failing. They're old. They're R22. We can't even buy R22 anymore. They have to be converted. They have to be pumped down, new stuff put in. We've been working on it. The maintenance guys have done really good about keeping them up. I'm really concerned about this week. It, you know, as hot as it is, they're old, they're 17, 18 years old. Originally we thought we'd just try and replace a few, but this new systems are complicated. They're actually computerized, some of them. I don't want to go into details on that particular part. This is what we was told it would cost today from one vendor. We need, on this amount of money, we would need to get at least 3 bids and take a look at it then. But the crane service is not in there, and it sounds like the labor to actually fire them up might be an issue. The getting rid of the old units, I almost think we could probably get a scrap business maybe to buy them. Once they pull the Freon out, then they can seal it, and then they can be shipped. But when they come off the building, they need to go somewhere. There's a scrap metal place in Columbus. There's one out here on Nelson Ridge. They're more than capable of dealing with them. Maybe we'll get a little bit there. But this all could change. These numbers, this was if we'd done it now. Jim brought up the S&P meeting. We all know interest rates are going up. It depends on if anything comes from that, on the, our interest and what we have to pay. The other thing that we're probably looking at is if we can, if we do a capital improvement loan, we look at possibly doing the prosecutor office. So you're looking at an easy $2 million because the jail needs other work done to it. I don't want to go into details on some of it, but some of it, the concrete is starting to sink. The jail is literally our most expensive building, and over $12 million, you have to put money back in it. Because to build that jail now, I'm sure it costs 2 to 3 times that. So we need to work on what we have. Once we get past this capital improvement, I've been working on our assets, what they're worth, and everything, and looking at the land. The assessor's office gave me the property value currently, but it's being revalued. It was like over $14 million. The rough numbers that I've run is like $30 million plus in assets. And that's not counting the 4-H fairgrounds. We're having to identify certain things, like the county highway garage. Brown County Solid Waste seems to be the owner of that. I don't have all the answers. We are looking at it. We have pulled up all the insured vehicles. We're looking at them. I believe in the State Board of Accounts audit. I believe the auditor wants this information. I'll try and have it done by the end of the year. And sent in, we're looking at the highway equipment, and a lot of the highway equipment's on there too. And I believe he has already sent it in to the State Board of Accounts what the value of that is. And if I don't have this in writing, but I was told that it's under $50,000 currently, The State Board of Accounts is not asking us as far as vehicles to produce that, but at some point, they want it to get down to 5,000. I plan on trying to have that number by the end of the year, too. So we're there. I'm not asking for the money tonight. I'm just informing you.
Okay. Appreciate it.
So we move forward with it.
Yeah, we'll do our due diligence in the budget.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That means a lot.
Trying.
Okay. Dave. Back to you.
So let me just say a few words and instead of diving into this material. I think some or most people that are interested in the activities have attended these town hall sessions. Is that what we call them? Town hall?
Town hall, round table, whatever.
Round table?
Yeah.
The next one is scheduled coming up, isn't
September.
It?
September 7th.
The first Tuesday. So what I had planned to do tonight, and we had time, was to get the slides that we showed in the town hall on the Zoom recording so people could review them and, you know, press pause, that type of thing. I'm reluctant to hand this out because it's just draft. It's ideas. It's people giving us, you know, like the supervisor said, we'd love to be involved with how much our employees are paid rather than just see the salary thing. And so Jim mentioned tiers. I mentioned bands. I'm using his tier thing. It sounds more professional than salary band. It's
like
a tourniquet or something, right? A band. So I like, you know, so I'm going to try to use his tier nomenclature. I've used his numbers, okay? And so just let me say a few things. I'm lost if our process and our discussion is not data-based and or backed up with principles and values. And if you were at one of the town halls, I had a bunch of statements on the slide that talked about our values or our principles, and then I showed you the data that we had. So I did not get any feedback or comments, maybe because I didn't hand it out, but I'm always interested in what you guys have to say or think about either the data that we're using or the principles and values. Jim made a comment the other day. We were on the phone. I think I was getting on an elliptical machine or something like that. He says, Dave, you try to work a lot of, you know, one-on-one type of things, and I think that's probably the Cummins in me, is that you go around and you talk with stakeholders and you try and figure out where they're at so that as you're framing what you're discussing, you know that you're inclusive, you're bringing people in, you're bringing their ideas, and they feel comfortable, they feel open to offer their thoughts. And so if the reason I'm mentioning this, Jim, I'm not violating your confidence, I just don't want you guys to think I'm sneaking around. I'm just trying to connect with you on a personal one-on-one basis to let you know how much I appreciate your input and your attendance and your value-added comments. So if you think I'm sneaking around, please call me out on it, because that's not my intent.
No, you're doing a great deal of work on it. I appreciate that.
And just so you know, Judy and I, we're burning up. Obviously, we have unlimited text because we're just constantly bouncing ideas off of each other. And I don't know what you guys think of Judy. She's a real gem because she has her fingers on the pulse of this Brown County team. And, you know, I'll come up with these weird ideas, and she'll say, no, they're not going to like that. Or, nope, you better use different words to explain that, or that type of thing. So I'll just pause there. Is we clear with my approach on this? Okay. So I would suggest that our next town hall, we really dive into this, and I'm going to continue working the tiers, because I think this is a very straightforward process. If you can just bear with me here. What percentage is fully fringed wages, fully fringed people, what percentage of our total budget is that? Is it 80%?
What do you mean total fringe?
Total payroll. Totally full.
About 6.8 million is projected right now.
Yeah, so about 70% of our budget?
Well, no. You take it, divide it by 20 million, whatever that is. Tim, what is 7 million divided by 20?
In this area, in the past, we always constrained people to no raises, no increases, no salary grade bumps, that type of thing, and we let that degree of freedom change in this last year cycle. So it may look like total chaos, but what we're trying to do is see if we can bring people up to or close to market rates and what that number looks like. So if we can get that in the box, I'm pretty confident the rest of this stuff is going to fall right into place. But we got to get the wages, and the fully burdened wages in place. And I need the supervisors and I need the elected officials to be part of that solution, because otherwise it's going to be a crap sandwich. Pardon that expression, but you know, if you're part of the solution, because we're not going to be able to get everybody everything they want, obviously, but if you're part of that solution, then at least we work together on it. So so the first step is to take these tiers that Jim has and map your current 2023 data into those tiers. So I'll be sitting down with Julie. I've already done it with Brad and Tammy and the folks over at the sheriff's office. We'll sit down with Ted, we'll sit down with the judge, we'll sit down with all the elected, Mary, and what I'd like is for you to take your people and what they're currently paid in 2023, and this is everything, longevity, if they've got a stipend or whatever, because I think at the end of this, stipends and longevity go away, and we're doing what Jim's saying is, if you're worth $80,000, we're going to pay $80,000. If you're worth $45,000, we're going to pay $45,000, not $41.95 plus a stipend plus, you know, that type of thing. So we're looking for simplification and transparency. So step one, I think this is pretty straightforward, is we give you the tiers and you just map your 2023 data into those tiers. Okay. Then I think this is when we're going to wear out Teresa or Sandy or whoever's doing it for you, Julie, because we need to run simulations. What does a 1% increase look like? What does a 2% increase look like? What does a 3% increase look like? And then one of our values was we don't want anybody to be making less going through this transition as we bridge people from the current salary grades to the salary tiers to what we can afford in 2024. Does that make sense?
That's a relief.
And we're going to try our hardest to make sure it's equitable and fair. And, you know, and Jim's hinted at this. He said it a couple times. When we do the rough, I call it strategy math, so you're not really worried about much more than two or three significant figures. If we could, if 20 people left our Brown County team and we could figure out how to go forward without those 20 people, that would free up more than enough money to get everybody to market. So just, and I'm not suggesting we do that. But we should take advantage of when people leave, you know, the attrition rates that Jim quoted there. That's an opportunity for us to figure out how to work faster, more efficient, and use those monies where you give some back to the taxpayer. And Julie's the poster child for this. I think I got some head shakes when I called you out at one of the town hall meetings, but you eliminated a position, which is where we found the money to give the stipends to the rest of your team because you divided the work up, okay? So in theory, that's the kind of thing that I think supports what Jim's saying, is if we can shrink the size of the team without throwing anybody out on the street or firing anybody, that's not what we're talking about here. But if people leave, it's a chance for us to remake how our team is configured, and we can take advantage of that cost avoidance to move people closer to market rates. So I'll pause here. Is any questions on that approach, that step one, step two? All right, and then I think if you want to get with me, I think most people know how to get a hold of me, but it'll be the first Tuesday.
What day is that? Thursday.
Is it the 7th?
It's a Thursday the 7th.
7th?
Yeah.
In here at 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
So if you can't wait till then.
So you're going to make your full presentation then, right?
Okay. Yeah, and I'll have more numbers because I would like, Mary, can I use you as a
Absolutely.
Early? Okay, so maybe you can send me an email when you want to hop on the phone or Zoom or something.
Jim.
Or come down.
Or Jim.
Can I use you?
Dave.
Okay.
Jim. Dave, we need to advertise that. Council will be there.
What, on the 7th?
Yeah.
It's an open public meeting. Did yeah. you?
If you're, I can. I will. Maybe.
Just to facilitate four or more of us being there.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to hear and listen.
I think ultimately your audience is the council, right?
On the seventh?
No, it's not.
It's the board's feedback from the people. You're going to bring that to the council for a decision.
Yeah, after he gets feedback, he comes to the board. Well, I'm not after any decision. I think what I'm doing is, again, I'm trying to use data, and I'm trying to get alignment around principles and values. And that should be the method then, the framework that we use to finalize the 2024 numbers.
He's compiling and putting together data.
To send to the council.
Hopefully I'm doing it with you guys.
Yeah, for us too.
If you make the town hall, then we'll...
You're gathering data for the council, and we can remove the values and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, our goal is to get the 1782 filled out and the 2024 salary ordinance complete.
Okay.
That's the end deliverable. I'm just suggesting we use a data set and principles and values to get there. Or we could do this, see what point it is.
No, I appreciate that. So we just plan on the 7th, go from there?
Yep, and if anybody wants to go with me sooner, I'll make time for you.
Hey, just a couple of comments on your approach. Our constraint is revenue.
Absolutely.
So when you go market rate, you take Julie's position, all of a sudden, if she's, let's say you're near the Bartholomew, if that's our benchmark, the surrounding counties, you're maxed out. You cut your employees. I don't know if you can cut any more, but your source of revenue is probably tapped out. So if the surrounding counties are up 5%, 10%, 15%, where are you going to come up with the money to bring those people up to that level? And then the other one, Dave, is on market rate. I don't know why people are fixated that you have to pay market rate. I worked in the federal system. We never got market rate. Congress would do these elaborate studies, and they tell you how much more you could be making on the private sector, but they didn't accept that. They say, that's great. If you want that kind of job, you go get it, but we're paying X. But at least they did the comparative salary analysis and that kind of thing. And I think your biggest issue I heard from the employee meetings is just being fair and having a process where people felt there was some integrity and there wasn't favoritism or there wasn't who made the better pitch to the council the particular amount of time. And so when I went through and you looked at all these different grades for deputies and this and that, and then you had administrative assistant, I'd like to know what's the difference between an 8 and a 9 and a 14 when it comes to a lot of these tasks that gets back to the position classification process. So I think one of the comments I heard was somebody who's paid an 8 or 9 and they see a new position description at a 14, they go, well, wait a minute, I ought to be getting more money if they're paying for these kinds of things, because you don't have the detail, fidelity detail, to explain to an 8 why they're not getting 14 pay. And that is your biggest bugaboo, and if you don't fix that, I don't care what your money is, people are going to be complaining all the time, and I've heard a lot of that this year, because it just didn't seem like it was a fair, equitable, fact-based, decision-based kind of a process. People thought it was favoritism. They didn't see the logic in it, so it's chaotic. Kind of
can I have one comment to your summary, because uh-huh. I think you're spot on, is my view of the job description, we apparently have been debating about who should be doing job descriptions in the future. Fine, whoever's going to do it right, because that job description should be a representation of what the taxpayer is willing to pay for those services that are rendered by that position and that office that position is in. And that's where I think connecting with having these town halls is important. There may be other mechanisms to get the voice of the taxpayers that care, that want to show up and do the thing. But those job descriptions and the services that we offer in the various offices, beyond what's required from statute, we've got to make sure that we're aligned with what the taxpayer is willing to do if it's above and beyond what statute.
And that's the piece, Dave, you guys are missing. You're invisible to that. You don't see the classification rating in that position description. You don't see it. That's skills, knowledge, abilities linked to tasks. Tasks are kind of standardized. And then there's a math that you've got to...
I'm sorry, I missed your point.
It's different. Private sector, you've got a lot more freedom than you do within government. And so consequently, there's a lot more overhead that goes along with these kinds of things. And we're just missing out that middle piece. If you go out and look at the state's process or talk.
Oh, I'm with you now. I got your point.
Okay. They've got a grade. There's an individual personnel classification specialist. They've got to grade that position description. They grade it. You guys aren't qualified to do that, nor is
it's not our responsibility anymore, apparently.
Well, it is for the grade.
Well, so like, take a position that requires a nursing degree. Take positions in Mary's office that needs certifications on assessment.
Certifications for assessing appraisal, yes.
I mean, that's about the level of
and
visibility that we have.
They're 8 and a 9.
And I rely on Mary, we rely on Judy S. to tell us. I'm not having any, you know, just like... We rely on them to say nobody's applying for our jobs because of X, Y, and Z. Most of X is we're not competitive on pay.
And that's where the personnel classification specialist puts the math to it, Dave, versus the subjectivity. They look at the actual position description and what you're identifying as a task, what you've identified as the skills needed, and then they grade that out and say, okay, it's X. We're doing that subjectively because we don't have that expertise for personnel classification.
Yeah, I agree with your point now. You know, it's just like if I have a PhD in modern physics, you're not going to pay me $350,000 like Los Alamos Labs would pay me to be down there to do council work, right? I mean, that's just silly. And that was my point about the job itself with the office has to be providing the services that are required by statute,
right,
and or the incremental things that we as a community want that office to do.
And that's the other part that's missing. I tell you, at the county level, I've never seen any mention of any kind of workload analysis. I mean, workload analysis. You know, and it's like, well, how can you, if you don't know what the workload is and you know, go around the time motion studies kind of thing.
And not only that, but we don't know what the fully burdened compensation package is either, right? So we can see what our counterparts make in other counties, whether it's the same or similar county, we can see that number because we look at their salary orders. What we don't know is what are all the fringe benefits.
At 2.
Okay. We're getting... So,
thank you, Tim.
Did you want to say more? We're waiting.
No. Wait, I promised to hold the conversation on September 7th, and here we are spending... Yeah. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah. Just want to make sure you're satisfied with what you wanted to do. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you, Gary.
Yes.
Those two, Jerry.
Hold on. Did we actually vote on the non-binding review?
And whose budgets were you reviewing? I didn't hear that. Library, solid waste, whose were they?
All the above.
Yes, you have to do motions.
The townships and all that.
Townships, the library, solid waste.
Yeah, we have to do motion in the non-binding review. Good catch, Jerry.
You don't state the amounts of the total budgets that
We can.
That has been done in the past. And
who's got the sheet?
There were two. Darren and I looked at it.
I saw two discrepancies. What appear to be discrepancies or typos, I don't know. That's something that needs to be reviewed. Okay, we have no say so anyway on what it is. I just want to make sure that whoever's submitting those sees those, catches them, and makes sure it's
correct. She'll be here on the 5th.
Can we make a motion premised on that?
Yeah. Motion.
Is there a time requirement urgency? Normally those people come in and visit us, don't they? You know, start by you?
Not the townships.
No, not the townships.
Not the library.
They used to.
Yeah.
So this is where
they
we have to like have a meeting,
yeah,
vote, and then we close the meeting down, and then we open up another. Okay.
No, not an executive. No, it was in a public meeting because this is everything that accumulates to the county tax rates.
Yeah.
So it's all public record.
Yeah, we have to review. We have no say so in it, but we have to vote that we've seen it.
Yeah.
And it's been presented at a council meeting for the public to see. So, I mean, that's the purpose of the non-binding.
Yeah, and I thought we had to look at it, vote, shut the meeting down, open the meeting up again. Remember we had to do that last year?
No,
yeah.
I don't think it's for this.
That's solid.
This is all we have to do. Yeah. council members shall make a motion to report that they have received a non-binding review report.
Okay, so you want to make a motion then to conditional? Conditional upon review by Jackie and clarification of data?
Yes. Julie, you said she's going to be, Jackie's going to be down the 5th. Is it too late to do it then? Just do it right once the first time? Or?
Well, the 5th is not a public meeting.
It's
a working meeting.
Basically, all you're doing is saying you've seen this, and you're signing on, you're just basically motioning it.
I think the statute says September the 1st is the deadline.
Okay, yeah. So we're pushing it. But the 5th is a public meeting, right?
No, it's not.
No.
No.
We'll see if it ends up being
a work session.
We'll figure that out between now and then.
The council work session?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Okay, back to this issue. Can we clarify? Motion to approve?
Motion to approve reviewing the review of the non-binding.
Okay.
We have seen and reviewed the non-binding.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now.
Motion to adjourn.
I second it. Thank you. All in favor? Thank you all for being patient out there. I admire your stamina.
Hey, there are, if anyone wants to.